Hello, freaks. It's Jeff Wagner. This episode was recorded on the evening of November 20th, 2024, just hours before the early morning fire of the 21st that destroyed our home, most of the contents of our home, and four beautiful, wonderful felines. This episode, and pretty much every episode of Radical Research going forward for me, is dedicated to the memories of those children of ours, Cora, Cubby, Perfect, and Pan. My life will never be the same, but here I am 5 weeks later and finally launching the episode that was supposed to air the next day, November 21st. I offer this preface as a little bit of context, as I sound like my usual enthused self on this recording. It's a little bit chilling for me to listen back to because I had no idea what horror was going to dominate our life just hours after Hunter and I had so much fun recording this together. That night, we also recorded the Bathory Octagon episode. That's a longer full-length episode, of course, and it still needs to be edited. It could be 2 or 3 weeks before I'm able to make that happen. As ever, and especially right now, thank each of you, awesome comrades, for your patience, as well as your incredible outpouring of love and support to Adrian and I and our surviving animals in this most horrid of experiences. Your enthusiasm and our bond in music keeps me going. Much love. I hope you enjoy this short 0.5 episode on Autopsy's Fiend for Blood.
Hello, freaks, and welcome to Radical Research. This is episode 123.5 on Autopsy's Fiend for Blood. Hello, Hunter.
Good evening, Jeff.
We have some things to talk about with this one. We were talking offline. Let's get this sucker online. You were saying what a weird production this album has, or EP, yeah. EP, we'll say.
Of course. Literally sounds like every mic in the studio has a blanket over it.
Yeah, exactly. I used to think of it as garagey, but when over the years, it's still raw. Yes, it's still in that basement, but it's the muffle of everything that makes this, right?
Because it sounds suffocated.
Muffle funeral.
It's like an EP that is in the process of dying.
I don't think we have to give anybody history on Autopsy. If you need it, just check Wikipedia and Metal Archives and Tidal or wherever you listen to music streaming to get a sense of their history, and then go buy the records because this band, super classic, we don't have to say. I've been into them since the first album. Can't say I'm cool enough to have gotten into the demos because I just didn't have access at the time. But here we are.
Poser.
Yeah, I know. I'm a total poser. But I, having been into them and then hearing Mental Funeral for the first time and living with that for a year before Fiend for Blood came out, I think I already, along with most other death metal fans at the time, like understood that like Mental Funeral was a current and modern classic. Even at the time, it was like, yeah, this is a monolith of this genre.
No, it's a top five death metal record for me. Yeah. And yeah, I got into it weirdly. It was on early 1992 episode of Headbangers Ball with Mike Gitter, who I respect highly and who turned me on to a lot of things over the years.
Sure.
And a Lon Friend, who I respect not at all. And Lon Friend was like, I guess Ricky Rackman was out of the picture for a second. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of running the episode and he had Mike Gitter on to talk about death metal. And Mike Gitter said, this is like doomy, funereal, just super grim death metal. And I was like, well, I have to hear that.
And then you got Mental Funeral and then you got familiar with it. You loved it. And then was your first reaction to Fiend for Blood negative in any way?
Yeah. There were a number of autopsy related things that were negative for me after Mental Funeral.
Sure. Urine Junkies for one of them.
I bought Urine Junkies.
Here was my disappointment with Fiend for Blood initially. And I'm on record now. I want to say this. I love this EP. I will put this as my number two Autopsy of all time.
Damn.
over severed survival, over whatever else you bring, just because of what it is and how much I love it and how successfully it does what it's supposed to be doing. Like, I just connect with it. I think it's great. So I love Severed Survival. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think it's as interesting as this EP. It doesn't keep me engaged.
I'd take Acts of the Unspeakable over this.
I won't. I won't.
What? Well, I respect that.
But here's the thing. I was disappointed at first. I remember going, eh, because the cover was kind of sucky. I love it now. I totally get it. I wouldn't want it any other way, but I didn't like the cover art at first. Thought it was really cheap looking. Super short, like, okay, six songs, kind of, so punkier, obviously. We heard the title track as the opening of this episode. That's not a snippet. That's the whole song. One of the very, very short ones. And the sound, like you mentioned, really garagey, really muffled, really almost tossed off, as if they really weren't thinking about it. Let's listen to Keeper of Decay. There's a lot more to speak about after that.
Like Sabbath of death metal.
It's very Sabbathy. Yeah, Hellish Crossfire on wooden coffins on the drums there, for sure.
I mean, just the interplay, the way they all respond to each other. That's the thing about Autopsy that I've always loved. It's like more like a rock band.
Each member has character.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but they don't act like they don't behave like a death metal band in a lot of ways. Like
Sure.
they play like
Absolutely.
some of the most morbid, fucked up music ever, but they talk to each other differently.
I've mentioned this in other contexts before on our podcast, but like to me, they're that non-70s band that kind of rolls like a 70s band.
Dude, that is exactly so that okay. Well, you said it a lot more articulately than I did. That is exactly what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Or like a, they're like the Joe Carducci kind of rock and pop narcotic interplay band. They're
Yeah.
like that fucking ZZ Top or James Gang or
Yep.
Black Sabbath or whatever. Like
Yep.
they feed off each other that way.
Well, this was a death metal band with a lot of deep influences because I think every one of those you named, they're huge fans of. I would put money on that. Frank Zappa, Residents. They love, I think there's some Southern rock love in this band. So it's like this band was a group of guys that listened really deeply and played primitive death metal. But I think the character of Autopsy, the depth of character, is because of those influences. Now, they have an abandon that's addictive. Like there's a certain abandon to when they just whip out the fast stuff. We didn't hear that much on Keeper of Decay there. That's slow. But like when they get into the fast stuff, it's an abandon, not unlike Holy Terror, where you're just watching this thing go by and it's blazing and you can barely believe it, right?
Yep.
Am I overstating it?
No.
And the bass
No,
line
and
is
I mean,
super.
I think the fact that they don't do it all the time makes it that much more dramatic.
Sure. Yeah. Right. The contrast. As we heard on Keeper of Decay, Steve DiGiorgio playing bass there. Even if you didn't know that, you might guess it. Some of the best DiGiorgio lines are on this record. I love him all over Fiend for Blood. Some would say we did him a disservice a few point fives ago on the Death Human survey of his playing. I think this is amazing DiGiorgio. What about you?
Oh, yeah, totally. And I don't think we did him a disservice. I think it was just an opinion issued.
Fiend for Blood, I think its brevity works for it rather than against it. It's another reason I put it as my number two. It the adrenaline it gets up in me. It's gets my dander going, as you can hear. You Let's listen to, of course, Squeal Like a Pig.
Epic.
At 3:43, it's the longest song, so yeah, it's epic. It's the 21:12 of Fiend for Blood.
I mean, just yeah, that's another thing about Autopsy is they hide their treasures. Very subtle band. They can do a whole lot within the context of what they sort of purport to do.
I think they build up a lot of tension that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah, that's interesting. I remember when Requiem podcast, Jason Hundy and Mark Rudolph did an autopsy thing. They might have done it in a series or just one of their really long episodes, but Jason, I think it was, called them a progressive band. And like, while I'm not sure I can totally go there, they were definitely just different, man. They were more left field. Like I remember at the time, I lived through that original death metal wave as an older fan, I guess, older in the sense of being 22 when all this stuff was coming out. And like they did stick out. Like they never fit in. They always seemed like they had a difference. They always seemed alternative to whatever it was, whether it was Cannibal Corpse or Suffocation or Morbid Angel. Like they were doing it quite a bit differently.
Right.
And they're more popular now than they were back then. I think that's also important to note.
I think they were super underground back then.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But
Always
cult.
felt like that.
Yeah, big cult, the death fans loved them, of course, but big cult sort of thing, not small cult, but also not, yeah, they weren't touring as much. They probably weren't selling as many records as all those other bands. Something we hear in Squeal Like a Pig, which we hear on Mental Funeral a bit, I think that's where they really introduced this, is their love of the Devil's Triad. Those three notes, the famous chord structure, obviously the song Black Sabbath is built on it, the Devil's Triad notes. Autopsy has made a career out of that, or through that, or with that. And I remember when their second era was in full swing, I liked Macabre Eternal, and I know we both love Tourniquets, Hacksaws, and Graves. That's their best sort of second era one, in my opinion.
Yeah, that absolutely. To me, that's like one of their best albums.
By the time they got to like Skullgrinder, which is this kind of quasi album, kind of a long EP, 2015, I think it was, they started using the Devil's Triad too much. Like that's kind of when they became redundant for me. There's a point. The second era is cool. It's great, but I just feel like they started to repeat that Devil's Triad thing too much. And oh, here's our signature again, and it started to feel redundant. But anyway.
I was going to say that Squeal Like a Pig title, you were talking about the Southern rock, the potential for Southern rock influence.
And that comes from Deliverance.
Yeah, like the ultimate Southern horror film. Let me tell you something. Every time I go get Ella at like and I have to drive through that part of the state at night,
Right.
Ned Beatty in my head, Rape Fear.
Rape fear. Ooh, rape fear in the South, man.
Dude,
That's
and I'm Southern. Couldn't talk my way out of it.
right.
Like, it's a real thing, man.
All right, man.
They ain't no lights going on.
Just keep driving. I'm grateful you and Ella get through this together. Just keep that perfect symmetry going in the car, and she'll get you through it. Moving on, Ravenous Freaks, obviously, Chris Reifert and Clint Bower from Hex were in a band called The Ravenous at some point. This is Ravenous Freaks. Yeah, man, stick clicks, baby.
I love that too. Like, there's just something very candid and spontaneous about Autopsy.
Two excellent words for them. Yeah, that's good, man. We hear that, like I said, with the stick clicks, with the they make good use of two guitars. You know, you can hear the one coming in, the guy waiting, and then he plunges in with the other guy. You know, like, you know,
Yeah.
Danny and Eric, man. Danny Corrales and Eric Cutler. What a combo. And then look, let's go back to Chris Reifert and his drumming. I mean, I love his choices all throughout this EP. You can hear how nimble and tasty he is on that snare. We've talked about him before as more of this kind of rock death metal drummer, which ties into kind of the larger thing we were talking about earlier, too, about them being a 70s style death metal band, if there were such a thing. As a great drummer, what your thoughts on him as a drummer?
I love him. He's intuitive, just spontaneous, and I think, you know, one of our other favorite death metal drummers, Nicky Anderson, you can
Yeah.
hear the impact that Reifert had on him.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Autopsy's an acknowledged influence on Nihilist and Entombed.
Yeah, like, no, I love Reifert to death. He's so tasty. He's got pocket. He's got feel. Yeah, no, he plays death metal like a rock drummer, and I love that.
Yeah. Let's take a little detour and listen to something that I've always touted as my very, very, very favorite moment by Chris Reifert. This is from Acts of the Unspeakable, the next record. And like you said, you like this better than Fiend. And I love it. It's just, I don't know why I don't love it as much. Maybe because DiGiorgio's not there. I think I always secretly want DiGiorgio on Acts of the Unspeakable. No offense to Josh Baron. This is a track called Battery Acid Enema from Acts of the Unspeakable. Great title. Great. Great song title. And while that song title points to shit fun and urine junkies, honestly, it's pure Autopsy. And I just love the snare rolls that start this short song. Let's listen to his snare work on Battery Acid Enema. There you go. Your thoughts on that snare?
Pretty sure that's not in four. Hadn't counted it, but pretty sure it's not in four.
What's cool about that is it. Where is it? Like, what? It's not really in a signature. It's sort of liquid, I guess.
It feels like that.
Yeah.
Didn't bother to count it before we did this.
Well,
But yeah.
I sprung that one on you, and it's not even Fiend for Blood. We've gone non-purist here.
But again, like it's the way that those guys play off of each other.
Ah,
They
yeah, totally.
respond to each other. Like, I mean, it's like hot-blooded dudes playing together.
Like a real band. This is another short song called A Different Kind of Mindfuck. Let's go.
Here's something that we have not talked about. I think that Reifert is one of the most inhuman and Lovecraftian death metal vocalists of all time.
Well, listen to it right there. I
That,
mean,
that's what I'm saying. It's like insane.
yeah,
Does not sound human at
not,
all.
yeah, I love the way he used to just gargle the lyrics on Severed Survival, like that early
Yep.
stuff. Like you do need the lyric sheet. It's really garbled, but I love that about it. I think that's how it should be. Yeah, I suppose he became a little more intelligible as they went on, but yeah, he's still completely inhuman, as you say. He's still otherworldly. Which is what a death metal vocalist should be, you know. If it sounds human, you're doing it wrong, you know.
Yep.
So
That's a shirt. It sounds human, you're doing it wrong.
we're gonna close out with Dead Hole and yeah, end this thing. Let's go. Oh man. Okay. If anybody out there was unconvinced before this, if at the fuck yeah and then that crazy ass section after did not convince you, I don't know. I don't know what to do about you. You were laughing when that part came out because it's so great, right?
It's amazing. Yes. Fuck yeah.
Fuck out, and then just Holy Terror lead part. I mean,
Yep.
it does remind me of how they would just fucking barrel into those lead moments. Like, just it's scary.
California boys.
Very excited. Yeah, more California thrash, man. Hex, Holy Terror, let's do it. And this is as thrash as it is death. I always found that Autopsy just kind of were, yeah, they're death metal, absolutely, but
But they
they evoke.
yeah.
Like Dark Angel, they evoke Holy Terror, they evoke Hex, they evoke the really intense thrash bands just as well. You know, they might as well step into that world a little bit.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm glad I
Just
finally
the same way that those bands step into their world.
for sure.
Yeah,
Yes,
I mean,
they
I
like
listen to Dark Angel sometimes, like this fucking death metal
this is
band.
death metal. Yeah, no, I think I've texted you this exact same thought after a listen one time. This is a bit of a testament, at least for me, to never think that you know what you think about a piece of music. Because I might have dismissed this forever and then I'd be sorry. But no, I kept going at it and it opened itself up for me. Like this is just an autopsy pinnacle as far as I'm concerned.
Nice.
I hear nothing
Amazing.
that, yeah, it's great. I know you agree. All right, signing off. Next episode 124 will be on, that's right. We did not have a $10,000 benefactor, but it will be on Bathory's Octagon. We have no idea what we're going to be doing with this. We are ashamed almost to even do it, but we're going to do it. Here it comes, episode 124 in about a week.
Fuck yeah!